All right, it's the Pop Tower Podcast, episode 36. I'm Peter W. Dawson.
I'm James Bullock.
And we're here to talk about video games, television, and movies today. We're gonna mostly focus on the video games and the movies, but we got a couple of TV things to touch on. Mm-hmm. And actually, this first one is pretty important. I would normally do a riff with James right now about how you doing today, and we would do some vague reference to what we're going to talk about instead of just getting on with it, as is our idiom. But I do want to start off on a way more serious note, because since we're going to be talking about WWE 2K19 today, there's a couple of hot-button things going on with WWE right now. Now, the first one I'll bring up, but we're not going to touch on for reasons I'll explain. So there's the WWE Crown Jewel event in Saudi Arabia, which will be happening...
I thought it was just happening at the WWE Network.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it, as of right now, it's apparently still happening in Riyadh. It'll be the Friday after this is recorded, which is when this episode would go live. And that's one of the reasons I don't want to really bother talking about it too much, because this episode's going to potentially be heavily out of date, because a lot can happen in a week.
Yeah.
So we're just going to... And plus, I don't like to dive into politics or anything like that. Really,
especially with the way this has turned out. Yeah, that's just a mess.
There's so many factors here. But I do want to comment on, and this kind of hit close to home for me, is Roman Reigns. Now, we've made jokes about him before on this show because he's a decent wrestler, you know, and he seems to be a pretty good guy in real life, but his character's gone some directions that haven't been great.
Yeah, I've always looked at it from the character perspective. Like, I've never hated the guy, because... Just like with any wrestler, I can't hate them because of bad booking. Like, they just do whatever they do because that's what's given to them.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean...
He looks like such a cool guy anytime I see him up, down, down, too, so...
I know. I feel the same way about Baron Corbin. His character's insufferable, but he seems like the kind of fun guy to have a beer with and play some video games with. But no, in Roman Reigns' case, unfortunately, he confirmed that he has another bout of leukemia, which he previously suffered from apparently about 11 years ago. Yeah. I actually didn't know that about his backstory at all.
I had no idea.
Yeah. And like, it was on Wikipedia beforehand, apparently. People pointed this out to me. So, yeah, he rather surprisingly had to vacate the Universal title just this past Monday on Raw. Mm-hmm. And it's just an awful situation. And so, like, even if I hadn't... James, you know this. I personally had a friend of mine very recently pass away due to complications of cancer, and I personally have been trying to do my best to support local cancer societies and all that. I even participated in an event with sponsored by Ryan Reynolds called Let's F Cancer.
<That's>
which,
so
you know, it'd be nice if we could do that.
I know, I'm with you, man. Like same thing, my aunt, she passed away from colon cancer. That was back in 2005. And just a young woman. So, I mean, like I said, it doesn't even matter. There's no criteria.
Nope. No, my friend was my age.
Right.
And I'm you know, not in my 20s anymore, but I'm still...
You're still a young, you're still a very young man.
I shouldn't be ID'd for liquor anymore, but I still could be. You know, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really hits close to home. And I just wanted to make sure that we acknowledged, because we've made jokes about him before, we do wish him the best.
Very much so.
Like, we probably didn't need to say anything, but I remember just in episode 35, I think we made a casual crack at him. I just want to be clear, you know, we weren't a big fan of the character, but we absolutely support the man, and under no circumstances wish him ill.
Anyone. I mean, that's just...
Oh, no. Exactly. We've both seen firsthand what this can do to people. I can't think of anyone real I would wish this upon. I've got an active imagination. I can imagine some fictional people I might wish it upon, but again, fictional.
Yeah.
That's how far you gotta go with this. So, yeah, I just wanted to make sure that was out there. Yeah. It just, It felt like it needed to be said.
Yeah, another piece of support, you know, that we've seen so much outpouring in support of him, just not only from fans, but the other wrestlers, other colleagues, that has been incredible and just a testament of just how good of a human being he seems to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's these stories that have come out are just beautiful to read, and I highly recommend anyone listening who's interested, go check those out, because everybody has told pretty good stories. And, you know, seems like a very good dude. Mm-hmm. But we're going to transition now from serious to our usual, let's call them wacky antics, as we talk about WWE 2K19.
Yes. It's not even wacky because of us.
No, it's really not. It'd be nice if it was, you want to create the Undertaker's quirky sidekick, Grave Mistake.
Ah.
Or, you know, I'm sure there's other wrestling puns you can think of.
Yeah, one of my favorite was back from the WWF Attitude game, I made Code Blue, which was a doctor that just wore a blue outfit.
And I did a grown-up version of Dennis the Menace once. Yeah, his signature weapon was, let's just say he had a signature weapon. Should tell you all you need to know about that. So, 2K19 is the sixth 2K game, because WWE's, the 2K franchise, started out when 2K acquired it from THQ.
Right.
And even that's, it's still published between, what is it, Yuke's and Visual Concepts?
Right.
Like, those are the actual developers. 2K is just ultimately the publisher.
Right.
Which is important a distinction, because, but of course they have the brand on it.
Because so many people have just lambasted 2K for any follies when it comes to the previous entries, when in reality it's not necessarily their fault.
No. I mean, they're still putting their stamp of approval
right.
on it, so...
That's the thing.
You can't escape blame.
It's not as golden as the Nintendo stamp of approval, but...
Yeah. Although those are becoming more and more third-party now,
I
so
know.
Even Nintendo. Yeah. It's an exciting time. So, I want to just lay out what they said their goals were.
Okay.
Because
this year was very it was very definitive of exactly what they wanted to accomplish.
Well, they specifically said they wanted to get away from the idea of a simulation.
Right.
Because they were saying it felt sluggish. And I can totally see that. Because, I mean, the games have always felt kind of stiff and not as fluid as a result. And while there's certainly some elements of realism that I did appreciate, of course, the 2K games are also pretty infamous for their glitches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to be fair, this is an annual series.
Right.
And there's not a lot of trading developers, unlike with some other annual games, like when Assassin's Creed was annual. Sorry, just one second. I just got so choked up thinking about Assassin's Creed.
I was about to say, you're choking on your own rage thinking about Unity right now.
Yeah, you know how much I hated Unity. Oh, man. I even now, like, I know a guy who's going through the Assassin's Creed franchise. I flat out told him, don't bother with Unity. It genuinely doesn't affect the continuity too much. If at all.
It will help your blood pressure.
Yeah. And when the Cockney woman in the French street asks you how you're doing, me lord, you know, it's just like, nope. And remember, there's no running in the investigation zone. Okay, I gotta stop, because
yeah,
I'm just gonna rip
you're
on
going
Unity
way,
all day.
You're going way off course now.
you've awakened a beast within me. Sir, it's just, I'm angry about cancer, and I'm angry about Unity, and it's a lot easier to vent about Unity. Anyway, so yeah, 2K19, yeah, they wanted to go for a more realistic approach and, or sorry, not less realistic simulation, more fast-paced game. They kind of succeeded.
Very minor.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm trying to be more complimentary because I do appreciate what they were trying to do.
Yeah, I'm actually one of the people that really liked the gameplay change from kind of like the modification from, I think it kind of got really stale between like 2009 and really 2K14. And
those just blended together.
Yeah, they just felt like all the same game, really. Just different rosters. And then
yeah, different
we
story
had
modes.
This change in the actual gameplay style. And I say 2K15 was really, definitely had a learning curve, and they ironed out some of the problems with it. And then 2K16 to me was like the best version of it until now. But in terms of, like you saying, getting rid of the simulation aspect and kind of make it be more like the old SmackDown games, no, not at all. It's just a little bit faster, and that's about it.
Yeah, this, like, the speed is definitely there now.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate that, but yeah, it's it doesn't give you the classic feel, but it does. It's less simulation, more high-paced action while still in the simulated world.
Right.
It's probably the best way I can just, like, I can't think of a more succinct way of putting
it's
that.
It's pretty much a faster version of the last few games.
Yeah. Lists, of course, some new modes. Some improvements, some not.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have apparently become horrifying homunculuses. Like, okay, like, so some of the character models really don't look like the wrestlers, and the one that got a lot of attention is Lana's. Rusev's wife, Lana, just for context, because she doesn't really have a last name, so it's just Lana.
Just Lana, yeah. It's so just Rusev, Rusev, so I guess it's Lana Lana.
Yeah, I know. I can't even remember what his original full name was.
Oh, man, I can't either.
Because he had a full
name. Right, he did. He was another one that made the transition and lost a name.
Yeah, and I can't actually remember his. I can remember some of the other ones.
I can remember Antonio Cesaro, and I can't remember Rusev.
Yeah, or Adrian Neville.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
and, of course, Lana, the Ravishing Russian, right. Even though she's not Russian. Whatever. If that was the most egregious thing WWE ever did, we'd be laughing.
It really would be.
But, yeah, like, she looks like... She doesn't look like her, and she also looks like a weird semi-melted Tissot's mannequin of someone else.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking, at first, like, it started blending into a troll doll, and then, like, they scaled her down.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is why I went with Tissot, because, like, it still looks like a human.
Right.
But it looks like one that's melted slightly. Which is why
I went like when they did the full body scan, like something went wrong, and they just said, well, we can't do it again, so we'll just leave it like it is?
No, I think what they did is they got a Russian woman named Lana, but they didn't realize they were supposed to get an American woman named CJ. Because I believe that's her real name?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, that's just the most famous example. I mean, this is hard to do on an audio podcast without visuals, but, I mean, off the top of my head... Charlotte Flair looks terrible.
Yeah, Charlotte looks really bad.
Yeah, yeah. And then,
And of course, like, some of the lower card guys, like the 205 Live guys, look kind of bad.
Yeah. Tommy's in it, right? Is he one of those that looked wonky?
Yeah.
I remember, because I haven't really looked at the 205 guys, because I haven't played it nearly as much as you have,
right.
But, like, the main thing I focused on is the showcase mode, which we'll get to in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he... Some of these guys, and of course,
the legends,
too. It
was weird because I think, like, him and Akira Tozawa, even though, of course, they're two different people, for some reason, look a lot alike.
That doesn't make sense, though, because Tozawa's got a way stronger jaw.
I know, for some reason. I think they use, like, the same body structure and face structure and just put their faces on it.
It's like, Tozawa's got an outie for a chin, and, frickin' Itami's got an innie. How can they,
And even, I feel sorry for the ones that actually do look good, like Roman Reigns, not just to bring him up, but he's like the first person I thought about. The poor hair physics are still so bad.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns' hair should not flow like it does.
Are you telling me that the, I'm trying to remember, his oily hair doesn't have the luscious sway that it should?
No, it sticks back like he's a Dragon Ball Z character sometimes.
Yeah, I get the impression he would like that.
I actually think it would be great for him.
See, that's the crossover we need. We need to just have WWE 2K Games get a Dragon Ball parody license.
Yes.
So they can just have all the wrestlers be Dragon Balls. Like, because they tried to do that with, like, you know, Legends of WrestleMania and stuff
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly.
Just do something like that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Man, I think we just came up with a hit game for WWE right now.
Yeah.
You want to make it fun again? Make it fun again. Make it WWE 2KX.
I got like three more things I know we need to cover.
Okay,
so,
yeah, let's keep on going.
Do you want to mention any other characters real quick?
No. Like I said, Lana and Charlotte definitely stand out. And of course, like the legends. A lot of the legends look pretty bad. Macho Man, they cannot get a good Macho Man to save their life. Like every year, it just looks really bad.
And Ricky Steamboat is the one that always comes to mind
too.
It's very unfortunate. Yeah, so I mentioned my career mode.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, showcase mode.
Yeah, it's back.
Yeah. Yep. And it's Daniel Bryan. Ever. The American Dragon, Daniel Bryan.
Oh, no. Actually, the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, because in the first match, he's actually Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, he's Bryan Danielson on Velocity fighting John Cena.
Because rapper John Cena. The Vanilla Ice version of John Cena.
Yeah. The white chocolate John Cena.
The white chocolate John Cena.
Because you can't call Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, white chocolate John Cena, and it's really cool, because they cover his whole career, and it's...
A majority of it. They actually have to skip past a few points.
Yeah,
and I understand why, because, like, one section is when he wins the World Heavyweight title for the first time, they pretty much just go through that through a video. And I understand exactly why, because one of the reasons is that, like, during that time he was with AJ Lee, and you know they can't get her for licensing.
No.
So, let's just go past that point.
Plus, it was a lot of sneaky winning matches things, which aren't as much fun to win.
And could you imagine, like, if you had one of the matches you had to be was the Sheamus WrestleMania one? Like, that was just such a waste of time.
So, I would have loved if they had the Gauntlet, or the, not the Gauntlet, the Elimination Chamber one.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just him versus Santino. Yeah. That's who it came down to. I just love it. But yeah, no, it's pretty good coverage for his WWE career. You know, they're shockingly honest with quite a few bits.
Yeah.
And they included more characters than I thought they were going to.
Yeah, very much so. And the main thing about this one, which to me puts it head and shoulders above pretty much anyone that came before it, is the fact that Daniel Bryan actually narrates during the cutscene.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Which adds this level of authenticity that none of the other ones have, and to me, it kind of like sets a bar that if they decide they need to do, they want to do it like the next games, it's kind of like you have to have this because it just felt so much better as an experience.
Yeah, well, I think one of my favorite similar type things before this was just 30 years of WrestleMania, because the matches they picked didn't always make sense to me. You know, some of the ones it was like, okay, it's probably just because of licensing things. Like, there's no way they could license Mr. T.
Yeah, and they tried to do the one with Mike Tyson. We had white Mike Tyson for the Stone Cold showcase.
It's a thing, but they had all the video packages to really sell how major those matches were, and they had some of the bigger moments. I mean, you obviously had some of the goofier ones, like, yeah, let's have both Rock versus Cena matches.
Yeah.
But, like, my roommate in particular was watching me when I played the one with Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair, and he got emotional. Because he doesn't follow wrestling, but, like, he occasionally watches me, like, play wrestling games, or he's usually around when I watch WrestleMania, at the very least, so. Like, and he was like, aw. And I'm like, I know, it's a shame.
That's wrestling done right. That's pro wrestling done right.
I know, like, so it's always nice when they do a good story, is my point. Bring it back to what we're talking about. And Daniel Bryan, they did pretty well given the licensing issues they might have run into and everything else. And like you said, the narration's one of the reasons.
Yeah, I think it's a big reason. It's a great feel to see and hear the actual person they're focusing on talk about and give his own personal take. Because it's not like it's obviously not just simply reading from a script and they wrote this stuff right. Like, there's moments where you can tell, like, this is what he's actually thought about in his mind. This is stuff he's actually said before.
Yeah, no. He doesn't sound like he's got a gun to his head.
You're right. He's not AJ Styles reading off that $1 million challenge tower script.
Oh, that's gonna take a lot of explaining, so we won't get into it. But yeah, some of the promo stuff for this game has not been great. So yeah, we should probably talk about my career mode.
Oh yeah,
because this was a big sticking point. Like, I remember you were really mad about it last year.
Yeah. It was just such. I mean, the last few years have just been such a grind. All you do, they give you, like, this very loose story, and you have to just spend so much time fighting exhibition matches in my career mode that really don't mean anything, and then you have moments of storylines that start and just stop out of nowhere, which I guess sounds realistic to what WWE does now, but it just does not make for a good experience whatsoever. And for the first time to me, since they introduced the mode, This is the first My Career I enjoyed from top to bottom.
Well, I think because they have it more focused than ever.
Right.
I think that's one of the major reasons why. Because they have a specific goal. You're gonna focus on the character and just go with it.
Exactly.
And as a result, it works pretty well.
Yeah, it's just chapter after chapter. You have to do this, 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 and this. Move along and keep the story going. It's not a whole bunch of optional stuff that just drags on. They don't make you to, you have to win all these titles. Or, like, for example, back in the original incarnation where they had, you had to win, like, X amount of championships before you could become a Hall of Fame member. And then it would fast forward to the very end of the story where you're fighting at your 15th WrestleMania. Just that kind of stuff. Like, it just felt so wholly inconsistent and just grind heavy. That was the main thing. It just made you play with no real story or interest to keep you going.
Yeah, in this case, there's more of a narrative focus. There's more of a character focus. And so it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thoroughly did. Like, the only issue I have, and this actually ties to 2K Showcase 2 when it comes to the action, is the fact that there are no mid-match checkpoints. So if like something goes wrong, like, for example, in My Career, one of the matches I had was like a 15-minute Iron Man match with Bobby Roode. And got to like the last 30 seconds, the game crashes. So I have to redo the whole match over again.
Yeah. That actually brings me into one of the last things I definitely wanted to comment on before I kind of threw it open to whatever else you wanted to mention. This game is still buggy as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, they've always been, because annual releases, this is going to happen. They just don't usually have the time to do full, proper QA or get all the fixes in. It's an unfortunate reality of an annual game when you only really have one studio making it. Like, they've got all these limitations they got to work with, and it gets pretty crazy.
And then when you're working on new stuff, other stuff pops up that you don't know about until it's too late.
Yeah. And it also, and unfortunately, it ties into one of the things they didn't fix this year, which was the commentary.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to bring that up. I was going to ask you, like, what was the worst thing you experienced when it came to glitches? And the commentary was it for me.
Oh, yeah, the loops. The commentary loops are by far one of the most annoying, because, like, I had muted this game a few times. And like I said, I mostly focused on the Daniel Bryan stuff. Like, that's the main thing I've done. I haven't done a lot of my career, which is why I've been,
just to interrupt you when it comes to that, just because it ties into 2K Showcase, in the first match, the commentary reveals that Daniel Bryan is the SmackDown GM.
Yep. No, I had that happen to me, too.
I was in shock. The first match, and they're already talking about him being the SmackDown General Manager.
I know, it's just, what?
What kind of time loop is this?
Daniel Bryan spent time in a hyperbaric time chamber. That's how he regenerated.
Okay, so you said the loops. What was the worst thing you heard from commentary?
I got, like, you know how sometimes they'll say, what does this person have to do to win this match?
Uh-huh.
I had that, on repeat.
Uh-huh.
Like, the question was never answered. It was just, so what does this person...
Well, that's
like,
what
it would
to me
change
last
between
year.
Both competitors?
Yeah, that's what happened to me last year with, it was a match I had with Natalya, and Michael Cole just kept saying the same thing over and over again, like four times in a row, literally, the same line, what can Natalya do to win? It just kept saying it over and over again. But for me, this year, it's gender assignment.
Really?
Yes. Almost every match in My Career mode, and it actually spread across in the exhibition, in Universe mode, he's would be called she's, and she's would be called he's.
I actually didn't notice that. That's interesting.
I had that a lot. It was one match it was, in My Career, it was me and Johnny Gargano. And we were both women for a long time, according to the commentary.
Look, what you choose to identify as,
whatever it is,
nobody's business but your own.
But when you're flip-flopping,
what Johnny chooses to identify as,
when you're flip-flopping like this, it's ridiculous. But my favorite one definitely has to be the fact that they start talking about people and feuds that in no way involve the people that are in the ring.
I haven't had that happen yet. Man, you've had it way worse than me.
I had one. They were talking about Ember Moon, and I think I was playing with Shinsuke Nakamura.
That makes sense. Yeah, well, no, because like when Shinsuke is done with AJ Styles, there'll be nothing left but an Ember Moon. don't think that's bad to say.
Have you had any graphical glitches this time?
Oh yeah.
Speaking of Shinsuke, my God, that man's arm.
Yeah, no, I've had a lot of arms, and one of my personal favorites. I wish I had a screen grab of this to show you because this one freaked me out. So I was doing a create a character, and I like for some reason when I went to like I put him in a universe exhibition match. Uh-huh. His nose glitched. It caved in. I don't know how, because like it was like there was a black hole in the center of his head, and his nose had been sucked in.
Oh man!
I really want to know how that happened because it didn't start that way. Like during the match, it was not that way. Like,
it was normal to get in as the match progressed. It just got worse.
I don't know if it was like he took a headshot from a weapon because this was during a ladder match.
Okay.
But like, what?
Oh man, that's a brand new physics there. You can actually knock off noses.
Yeah, but like, you know, arms being out of position.
Yeah, I had one weird with Nakamura
twists,
once.
That happens.
Yeah, his arms. It freaked me out so badly. And it lasted for probably a good 30 seconds of him just grappling with one arm, literally pointing in the same direction as his left arm. Like, it was just.
Yeah.
It was weird. And the ropes are just hilarious too because for some reason the ropes are sticky.
What still kills me is like when people do super like dives, like people on tables and something, and the impact causes either the diver or the person being dived upon to do the fall through the floor glitch where they come back through the ceiling.
Yeah.
It really makes those moves look more epic, and I freaking love it.
Like I said, I have no problem when it's just glitches that that don't really bother me. Like you said, just graphical glitches, the commentary and stuff like that, but. When there are glitches, like, for example, one thing we didn't touch on, just something we could touch on real quick, is the Towers mode, which is a new mode.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
And very similar to the Mortal Kombat X Towers. You know, you had to fight a specific amount of people with certain stipulations. And one tower I was playing with The Rock, and you had to win by submission. So, of course, I hit circle, and instead of going in for submission, like it's telling you that it will do, he goes for a pin. And the game just locks up right there. I mean, I'm just like, The Rock is just sitting on top of, I think it was Pete Dunne, and just rocking back and forth. Like, he's got a pin, he's got him hooked for the pin. No referee, of course, this is a submission match. And for some reason, they won't let me relinquish the pin. So, of course, I had to restart the whole tower. And when you restart a tower, of course, all your progression is gone.
Just making me think of that match. I can't remember. It was Hulk Hogan versus somebody, and it was a submission only match. But they kept pinning each other. I think you know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I can't remember who that was against.
It was another match too with Ronnie Garvin and Greg Valentine. And it was a submission match. And like I said, of course they go for pins.
Yeah, and it's not like just a couple. It's
no,
like,
it's
four
like almost
or five.
The entire match. And I love the commentary. See, that's when commentary was great. Because they try to play it off like, hey, these guys are used to going for pins all the time, so this is automatically instinct. But, no, they just had no idea.
Yeah. I will say, I'm looking forward to the end of the year now, because, like, Botchamania started doing 10 worst botches and things like that.
Oh, man.
The commentary on some of those are amazing. But sadly, that's not to be found in
2K19. No. I mean, well, you can make your own compilation, though. It's probably enough botches to go around this game.
Yeah. But, I mean, no, if you like 2K18, you'll probably love 2K19.
Yeah, to me, this is the best 2K game, WWE 2K game they've ever put out.
Yeah. There's still plenty of room for improvement.
Very
but
much so.
They've hit a few notes really well this time.
This is the first time I can honestly say, like, I'm walking away feeling really, really good from the overall experience.
Yeah, there's some genuine enthusiasm here. Yeah. This is nice. This is not like, okay, it's an annual obligation.
Right. This actually feels like they really worked hard to try to modify what they think is good and add to make it even better.
Yeah. So, we got a bit of TV news we need to touch on.
Yeah, we want to talk a little bit.
I don't really
bit.
Have a good transition for this. But we've already been going kind of long.
We always move forward. That's why.
Yeah. Well, this will probably be quick.
Yeah.
So we a couple of shows we talked about just got canceled by Netflix.
Yeah, and it's amazing because both of these shows we talked about, we ended on a positive note.
Yeah, that's the killer, because we talked about Luke Cage and Iron Fist, two of the Marvel shows on Netflix, and both of them got the can.
Yep.
And Iron Fist didn't really surprise me when it got canned, because, I mean, the first season was so infamous, period. I'd say mostly infamously bad with good reason.
Hey, I was going to say, definitely go for infamously bad.
You know how much I hate Bakudo. Mm-hmm. I could go on another rant. I really need to tone down on the rants today, though. And I liked season one of Luke Cage quite a bit. And season two was pretty decent.
Yeah, I really enjoyed season two.
Yeah, there's some good stuff
both,
going on.
Both seasons, though, both series has suffered from that, man, why does it have to be 13 episodes deal, but...
Yep. And man, oh man, does that problem just keeps persisting with Netflix sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. So, it was no shock when Iron Fist got canceled, yeah. But it was a little shock when Luke Cage got canceled.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that. Like, I was actually surprised by Iron Fist, because I was seeing such positive reviews, and like I said, just from us alone, is the fact that we felt, oh, well, they left it in a very good position, and after seeing some improvements from this past season, I'm looking forward to season three.
I have a few theories as to why, because we haven't gotten full confirmation.
Okay.
We know the numbers were down.
Right.
That's for sure. They were not down as low as some other shows can get, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, they were still, they were somewhere around Orange is the New Black / House Cards numbers,
mm-hmm.
which isn't bad, because those are still some of the most popular shows. Like, obviously, with the latest stuff with House of Cards, it's dropped a bit.
Right, right.
But, like, they were still sustainable. But there's the Marvel license, which is a big factor here.
Yeah.
Like, there's three main theories here. And the first one is something to do with the Marvel license. Now, it's possibly Marvel decided to end the license, or Netflix decided to end the license related to the fact that Marvel's getting its own streaming service,
right,
to Disney.
Right, that's the big deal. I know a lot of people believe, yeah, that's the real theory.
That is probably the number one theory, and it's very valid. Like, so something related to the fact that we got the Disney streaming service, and that, like, they're doing a bunch of Marvel properties, is making Netflix less keen to keep what shows they have, especially now that the obligations are pretty much done.
Mm-hmm.
So they're free to cut loose as they want to. Like, I still think they've promised another season of Punisher.
Right.
But that might be it.
And I think they actually have a third for Jessica Jones.
I don't think that's actually guaranteed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I know the other thing is there was rumors that they had a guarantee to do a season of Moon Knight.
Oh.
But I don't think that's true.
No, I don't think so.
Because that was the other one they were talking about,
right,
for a long time. And it sounds like it's... Because there was also... Like, there was rumors that they had Moon Knight and Ghost Rider, and then Ghost Rider ended up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
But it sounded like they still had Moon Knight, and it doesn't look like they have Moon Knight anymore. So, that's probably the most I've said Moon Knight in quite a while. I got no problem with the characters, just... I mean... You know what? I'm not going to explain who Moon Knight is. If people are curious what I'm talking about, check him out. You might be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, that's the main theory. The second theory, which is probably the most optimistic one, is that they canceled it to make way for either Heroes for Hire and or Daughters of the Dragon.
You're right. And I know that's the one that a lot of people are saying, let's hope that's the case. But, I mean, I just haven't heard or seen or even believe that that's even in the works.
No, we don't have enough indication,
yeah,
that that's what's going on. And the third one is just that there's some expense problem that's making it less appeal. Because, like, Orange is the New Black and House of Cards are actually not that expensive,
right,
compared to... Because, well, their dramas and stuff goes on. Like, considering all the action scenes Marvel shows need and everything else related to them, not to mention the general license fees...
Right.
It's understandable why that could be more expensive than you might think.
And I love the fact, that's a good point, or you say you might think, because I love the fact, that was one of the things I saw when the reactions came out, is that it can't be that much to make these shows, because of the way they had
it. It totally can.
But Yeah, especially when you look at the amount of area these shows cover. Just one season alone, you look at the cityscapes and the amount of stuff they had to go through just to do some of the simple things, and we would think like, oh, that's not as expansive or expensive looking as some of the stuff you see in the movies, but it's still a lot.
Yep. Well, I mean, this is one of the things that torpedoed Telltale was they had all these expensive licenses
Yeah.
because they had to still pay for those, and so it's hard to say at this point. It is a shame that these shows were gone.
Yes.
We are going to talk about Daredevil season 3 at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe the next
Yeah,
episode,
that's
may
what
not. We
we're
don't
hoping
know.
for is the next episode for Daredevil. But
Yeah,
it's
we still got
it's
a.
actually scary now because we could finish this audio next and say, nope, Daredevil's canceled.
Well, we'd still talk about season
Yeah,
three.
still talking about season 3. It was like, oh, we're talking
Yeah.
about this season. If they leave any type of cliffhanger, we will never get any type of resolution.
You know what? Yeah, we should just go out of left field next time and do an anime or something again,
Yeah.
just to be safe. But yeah, so it's a shame they're canned. Hopefully, something good will come out of this. I guess we'll see. Yeah,
Yeah, I'm with
I don't know
you.
if there's much. Yeah, I don't know if there's much else to really. I didn't want to stay too long in the subject, but
Yeah,
I wanted
we're
to
in a
give it like.
speculation standpoint right now.
Yeah, like I don't have very good sources on this either. It's just I read what I can and trying to make sure that what I read has verifiable sources.
Yeah. We don't have
Because,
a
like I said, I don't even.
Meltzer of Netflix here.
It's not even that reliable. I'm gonna cast shit in that. It's like, oh, this might be what happens, but it could maybe not be. There, I've now covered all my
There, you've done
bases.
it. There you
I'm
go.
a prophet.
Pay me.
It's the lottery numbers will be 24, 72, 62, 41, 7, and 82.
Yes.
Or not.
Or not.
I am now 100% right.
Pay me.
Yeah. That's gonna get us in trouble. Whatever, I'm leaving it in.
Jack Meltzer is going to come after us.
Oh no. Alright. So, getting away from weird wrestling
Speaking of
references.
people that you consider a little bit up in age that are incredibly jacked.
The funny thing is, I at first thought of the wrong person. Yeah. Okay. We gotta get into this because I gotta. Yeah. So we're gonna be talking about the new Halloween movie, Halloween, which is confusingly enough the third movie in this franchise called Halloween.
And mind you must ignore the other movies, including the other one named Halloween.
One of the other ones,
Yeah,
not
one of
the
the other
other
ones.
one.
Oh
I know,
man.
yeah. This is more confusing than the fact that there's two movies called The Thing, and one of them's a prequel to the other one. Okay. So, I'll try to go through
Why
this as
don't you
quick.
do like the Friday gimmick? Like this will be Halloween after next, or so.
Yeah. Man, I kind of want to talk about Friday the 13th right now, but we can't.
I know.
Okay, so I'm going to quickly go through this as quickly as I can here. So, we had, in 1978, we had John Carpenter's Halloween,
Yes.
which featured Laurie Strode, played by Jamie Lee Curtis, being stalked by Michael Myers, the mysterious, deranged serial killer who, when he was only 8 years old, killed his sister. Just stabbed her to death with a kitchen
That
knife.
was his deal.
Yeah,
Most
and
kitchen
so
knives.
years later, he escaped from a mental institution and came home to Haddonfield, Illinois. So the original was called and was known as, like, the night he came home.
Right.
And of course, this was pre, somewhat, well, yeah, beloved Canadian comedian Mike Myers came about. With his Austin Powers films and his SNL, and yeah. So Michael Myers, yeah, and he famously wore a modified William Shatner mask.
I really want to think now. I just want to see like Michael Myers, the Halloween Michael Myers during Wayne's World.
That would be amazing. Although you realize Garth would be dead within 5 minutes.
I just came up with a robot chicken sketch.
If there isn't already one, I'll be shocked. I mean, we had Jason from Friday the 13th on Arsenio Hall.
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, RoboCop was
So,
Sting, so I mean,
yeah.
whatever. Chucky too.
Alright, I want to rein this in because I want to go through all the Halloweens.
Let's keep it moving.
Okay, so yeah, and then we had Halloween 2, which was also done by John Carpenter, and was an actual sequel that followed the same night when Laurie's character is at the hospital. So it's Michael Myers basically destroying a hospital. And then we go to Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, which is when they still tried to make the series an anthology. So it was all about this evil mask company, Silver Shamrock, with the world's most annoying commercial. Oh. Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween.
Pure evil.
And yeah, and they had these evil masks embedded with microchips. So you had this weird combination of science and tech and magic, which was actually kind of awesome. But it's such a I understand why people like it because it's so out there, but at the same time, it can make it hard to like if you're not ready for that.
Especially when you establish a character that's just literally a killer, and then we find out it's magic and technology.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Even as early as Halloween 2, they were hinting that Michael was some way supernatural because he'd shaken off being shot 6 times. And like that 2 is when they introduced that. 2 is also when they introduced that Laurie Strode was Michael's sister.
Mm-hmm.
His baby sister who had been adopted by the Strodes. And then 4, we meet Jamie, who is the daughter of Laurie, who died in a car accident.
Right.
Because they couldn't get Jamie Lee Curtis back, but decided to name her fictional daughter after her. Everybody got that? And then her crazy uncle comes back to try and kill her. Because Michael Myers just, you know, rises. And then Halloween 5, they, once again, she's stalked by Michael, and she herself is kind of in a traumatic state, as they imply she has a psychic connection with him. And then we get the infamous cliffhanger ending, which leads into Halloween 6, a Paul Rudd comedy. Because I always like to bring up the fact that Paul Rudd's in that, and he's not entirely acting like he should be. He sounds like he's trying to be vaguely British.
Right.
It's hilarious. Like, if you just watch the Paul Rudd scenes, you'll actually have a pretty good time with that movie. And then, that was the last one in the original series before, 2 years after that, on the 20th anniversary of the original Halloween, they did H2O, which ignored every movie but Halloween 1 and 2. And that's probably the most important thing I'm about to say here, because remember, this new one we're talking about only follows the original.
Yes. We're actually,
and it's
having
the 40th
sequels,
anniversary.
We're having sequels that just pretty much erase everything before. Each time we get a sequel, it's one before the original sequel. So, next time if we do a Halloween, this is going to be a completely new reboot. Like, we're just going to re-image Michael Myers and everything.
It's going to be the 60th anniversary. Jamie Lee Curtis is still going to be alive and still probably pooping like a boss thanks to that yogurt she eats. There's a pop culture reference that I'm sure will never become dated. And Michael Myers will be a hologram that's been possessed by Satan.
Just regular goth kids.
And I forgot to mention, there was 3 other Halloween movies. There's Halloween Resurrection, which is probably the most infamously bad in my opinion. Like, it's probably my least favorite by far. But it does at least have Busta Rhymes saying trick or treat, mother effer.
Yeah.
It's really dumb, though. Just really dumb.
It's actually, like, one of the favorite for television, too. Like, you can...
That's the worst part.
I know. This is the one you pretty much every year Halloween you'll see on television.
Yeah, and then we also got... Then we got the 2 Rob Zombie Halloweens.
Yeah.
Well, look, I don't like them very much, especially because... For some reason, he had rednecks in Illinois.
Yeah.
I'm like, what part of Illinois is this? like the accents were wrong, the characters were wrong.
Rob Zombie knows what he writes what he knows, and that's it. It doesn't matter where.
Well, this is what I'm saying. This is why all his characters look like him.
Yeah.
But he did try to go in a different direction, which was kind of interesting, but I think was ill-conceived, because he tried to get into the psychology of Michael Myers.
It was a good idea, but it was poorly executed.
Oh, I disagree, because I don't think getting into the psychology of a slasher villain's really a good idea. Because it ultimately can be kind of disappointing.
That's true.
like, almost every time they've tried that, it hasn't worked, right. And it's been kind of lame. Like, they tried it with Freddy Krueger, they tried it with Leatherface from Texas.
Oh, man, what they did with Freddy was so bad.
And they implied it to a degree with Jason and Friday. Although by that point, that series was already insane.
Yeah, it's just gone off the rails at that point.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it is what it is. I just can't think of a good example of that. Like, if you were trying to do a serious film, 100% serious, you might be able to get away with it. But it's hard to do with a horror icon.
Yeah.
But that leads us into this movie, because they very much ditched everything supernatural.
Yeah, they took it way back. They did not lie when they were saying they were trying to pretty much stick to the spirit and the essence of the first movie.
Yeah, I believe he only killed 3 people in the first movie.
Yeah, oh no, he makes up for it this time around.
Oh, he absolutely does.
He's getting better with age, I tell you.
Oh yeah, because I just want to point out, the director of this one, too, is David Gordon Green.
Yeah.
Who has a very just weird filmography, because he's done comedies and dramas.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's done Eastbound and Down with Danny McBride, which is no shock, because he seems to always work with Danny McBride now. And because he also did, like, Pineapple Express, Your Highness, The Sitter. But then he's also done, he still did dramas like George Washington, All the Real Girls, Snow Angels, Our Brand is Crisis. That was kind of comedy.
Yeah.
But it was dark comedy,
for sure.
I was
about to say, it was very dark. It was definitely a dark comedy.
And didn't really have much of a point. I think that's neither here nor there. Yeah, and so in this case, we get Laurie Strode, 4 years later, not related to Michael.
No.
But he was a serial killer that came after her. And she's still dealing with that 40 years later.
Yeah, she is a pure example of PTSD in this case. Because,
oh my god, and the PTSD is so good.
Oh yeah, she does a great job. Like, there's one thing you got to say about this movie. Jamie Lee Curtis knocks it out of the park better than really the source material could have given her. Like, the script, anything that you could have... If you told this to a lesser actor, it would have been so bad.
Absolutely. No, because, like, the script is fine, but it demanded a lot of the actor. Like, that's probably... Because, like, I don't want to knock the script, because there's, like, a few things I hated. Like, there's some lines I did not like.
Oh, yeah. What do you want to cancel, Halloween?
We don't need a Jaws reference. And there's another one where they basically go, "You're the new Loomis." I'm like, that was an unnecessary meta commentary.
It was made even worse by the character itself. It just reminded you how terrible this character is compared to Loomis.
Which Loomis? Oh, the Donald Pleasance one, you know, from the far, far underappreciated actor Donald Pleasance. Or the one from freaking Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah.
Even that guy was great. I didn't like the Rob Zombie movies very much, but you know, Malcolm McDowell's awesome in those. No, in this case, yeah, it's just. But we got Jamie Lee Curtis doing what she does best, doing it very well, and probably the most important thing is we got Michael Myers in this.
Yes.
Genuinely scary.
Very much so. Hey, there's a clip. And this is not a spoiler. This is in the it's in the trailer when we first get introduced to Michael's killing ability. Still,
yeah,
when he confronts a person in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was one of the most intense moments of the entire movie for me, and it was done so well.
Well, here's the thing. I pointed this out to you almost immediately after I saw the movie, and this is something that stuck with me. It did something that I don't think any of the sequels have done yet.
Right.
Until now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they recognized it from the original. There's scenes where Michael Myers is just there.
Yes.
He's not about to kill someone. He's just there. And that's probably the most unsettling thing. It's like, you don't know if this is where he's going to kill someone or not.
Yeah, because there are certain moments, especially once he gets out, of course. And... They had the tracking camera just following him as he's going around the town.
Yeah.
And you have no idea what he's about to do. And it's like just it just heightens that anticipation. in that fear because you know you don't know who he's going to bump into, who he's going to see, what he's going to do. And when it happens, it's always something just so quick and so visceral.
Yeah. Oh, no, this is the thing. Like, their direction is top-notch. Mm-hmm. You can tell this is a very experienced director. He's maybe not working with the best material. Like, the material's still fairly good.
I mean, it's good for a slasher movie. It's actually a lot better than I expected it to be.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah, like, but it's, like, the acting and directing are the big thing for this movie, but the script isn't that bad.
No.
I mean, it's not even, like, it's really not. Like, I mean, of the three things I just mentioned, it's the weakest, easily. But, like, I'm hard-pressed between direction or acting because, you know, some of the characters were annoying, but it's like, they were probably doing what they were told to do.
It's funny, like, the younger they got, the more annoying they got, except for one kid that I absolutely adored.
Yeah, that's pretty common, though, with kids.
No, but this kid was awesome, because he did everything you would do in real life.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, boyfriend, I think there's a monster or a person up there that could kill me. Send the guy I do not like. You stay down here with me.
It's cruel.
And then I run, you get out of my way. I will tell you what is going on as I'm running away from this potential dangerous moment.
Yeah, look. You gotta deal with it. I don't know how much I really want to say about this, because the music was on point, the direction was on point, the acting was on point. It really felt like this is probably the best I've felt about a Halloween movie in forever.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I walked away with a giant grin on my face because this was so much better than I expected it to be. I was worried about the trailers. Watching the trailers, like, oh, they're going to pull a Predator on me. They're going to show all the good stuff already. And no, they really pulled off. They really pulled off, to me, almost nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things. It's like Halloween, probably more so than almost any of the other ones, any other horror franchises that you can compare it to, it's the hardest to pick a second favorite. Because, you know, you got the original, which most people go to.
Right.
And then it's, I think the most common is either H2O or Season of the Witch.
Yeah.
Because people tend to like the uniqueness of Season of the Witch, or the, especially the climax of H2O. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in H2O that hasn't aged well. And then the other one, probably most common, is Halloween 2, the original Halloween 2.
Yeah, I was gonna
say 2, yeah. Just because there's still some really good stuff in that.
Yeah, yeah. Just the crazy nature of Michael as he goes on his rampage.
Yeah. But even then, it can still be up in the air because, you know, there's plenty of people that like some of the stuff in the Rob Zombie stuff. Like I said, I didn't care for
it. Yeah, that's some good defenders for the Rob Zombie ones.
Absolutely, and I understand why. I'm not going to say I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue until I'm blue in the face because you think it's really good. Because, like,
no.
Definitely aspects.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, I don't know if there's that many defenders of 4 and 5, but there could be. And I personally am a big advocate for the producer's cut of 6 because it's still got the stupid Thorn plot, cult plot, but it's more of a movie.
Right.
And I actually think it is a better final performance for Donald Pleasance, because he tragically died pretty soon after that movie came out, or like when it came out. Yeah. No, yeah, it was between the original filming and the reshoots he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
We lost a great one with that. Yeah. In this case, we got Jamie Lee Curtis, and you know what? That's enough. I really don't want to comment on the supporting cast too much, mostly because...
Give one shout-out to Judy Greer, who plays Laurie's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And one of my
that's fair.
One of my favorite moments of the entire movie is when Laurie busts into the house. They don't know, and she breaks into the house, into her daughter's house, and pretty much explains to her, like, all of these defense flaws that you have in your home. And Judy responds, "This is a loving, caring world we live in."
Yeah.
And I just think, like, okay, not only have you not looked outside lately, but Michael Myers is coming. You just, like, sabotage yourself. You know now he's coming after you.
Yeah. You gotta tell that Danny McBride had something to do with the
script. Yeah, that was definitely a very comedic Danny McBride line. Like, that was so...
That feels very McBride.
Yeah.
It's fine. You know, throwing some bits in here and there, that works fine.
Yeah. Only thing I have to bring up, and I have to ask you, get your opinion on it, the ending. And we're not going to spoil the ending, but just the fact that we've experienced over the last few months, especially all the movies we reviewed so far for the Pop Tower, is the feeling of sequel bait. Did you walk away feeling like that?
Oh yeah, well, it's. I don't really want to say too much because people will probably figure out what I'm talking about really quickly if I explain why I'm okay with it. This is the type of thing where I would expect sequel bait.
Okay.
And so I'm always fine with it, no matter how far fetched it is. Let me put it that way.
Okay, I'm with you on that. Like, if this is what they're gonna offer me, I'm definitely geared up for a second movie.
Oh no, absolutely. I just hope all the right, because I mean, we know what bad horror sequels are like.
Oh yeah,
I could easily have done a whole episode just on the freaking Friday the 13th sequels.
Good
but
times.
Yeah. I just want to listen to Alice Cooper again.
I know.
You know why. Yeah, no. For what it is, I'm absolutely fine with it.
Yeah.
That's probably because... Yeah, no, it's an interesting thing to bring up, but it's hard to talk about. So I'm like,
I'm
good with...
Get your opinion on it, because I know a lot of people... That's like one of the biggest criticisms I've seen so far.
It's just because of the genre, I don't care.
Right.
I really don't. I can understand
me,
people.
It's one of those things, like, I can deal with it if the quality of the movie is good enough. Like you're warranting a sequel.
Yeah, no, like, if this were something else, like, let's say, like, remember with Ghostbusters, the reboot,
they had
the sequel bait? That was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like, that, I don't know why I went to that one of all things. But, you know, this is one of the ones where any kind of sequel bait pretty much makes sense, because there's very good odds they'll make another one, and I think they're going to, because they've made quite a bit of money.
And to top it off, I think now you have the opportunity to, like, maybe implement some of the stuff from the other sequels and just do a better job of it.
Yeah. I honestly wouldn't mind if they revisited the Thorn Cult, but they did it way better.
Right.
Because the explanation in both versions of Halloween 6 for the cult is still dumb. But I feel like if they had a cult thing for behind us, this could have worked. Especially if they had like a mastermind thing. That would be good. Yeah, it's just they gotta do it right.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, Paul Rudd casually explaining it in weird British tones to a very confused lady who should probably run away. See, that's the secret. Paul Rudd was the killer.
Yeah. Ah. We solved great mysteries this week. Some people just don't know the mysteries we've solved this week.
I want to see a movie where Paul Rudd is like the killer now. Okay, it's set in Mexico, and it's a bunch of innocent Mexican people having to deal with stupid American tourists, and then one of them starts killing locals.
Mm.
And he's known only as the Hombre. It's Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd as the Hombre. That's my pitch. Because I really like the idea of just... Of the final credit of the movie being and Paul Rudd as the Hombre. You know, like, get yourself some top talent, like Mexican actors as like the leads.
Right.
And then final credit, Paul Rudd as the Hombre. Alright.
Oh man.
So my pitch for a weird horror movie aside. Actually, okay, double check. Any last thoughts on Halloween you haven't already?
No. I'd just say if you are a fan of the franchise, I definitely think you should check it out. If you just want to see a good horror movie for Halloween, definitely check it out, ironically enough.
Yeah. No, this appeals to general horror fans as well as fans of the franchise, unless you really wanted the supernatural elements.
Right. If you're a fan, like you say, if you're a fan of the original Halloween, you'll definitely get a kick out of this.
Yeah, but I think most general fans don't like the supernatural stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the original Halloween, you're definitely getting a kick out of those.
Yeah. So, no, it's I loved it.
I did, too.
I get the feeling.
Great movie.
I believe our website boss, the Queen Bee herself, enjoyed it. Because I know she's a big Halloween or Jamie Lee Curtis fan. One of the two.
Right.
And, yeah, no... fully endorse this movie. Good job, everybody. On that note, I think we're going to wrap it up for the day.
Oh, yeah. Well, you said good Thank job, everybody. For... I just wanted to do a fist bump, but I had nobody to do it.
Vegan police high five. To end it on a Scott Pilgrim reference of all things.
Oh, man, awesome.
I don't know. I just love the tangents that we've gone on this week. And I still think this episode's going to be okay in lengthwise.
Yeah.
But, well, until next time, folks.